been talking about prayer. It's so important that we pray. It's so important that we pray. And seek Him more and more. I'm going to conclude the series today on prayer. We've been going, talking about prayer, and I'm going to kind of review some of the points, but I hope we've all learned in the last few weeks that prayer is so important. Amen? It's important, and it's powerful. Prayer is important, and it is powerful. Prayer sets things in motion. Prayer is what activates things. And in the Bible, it's very clear that God and Scripture tells us, pray without ceasing. Pray continually. Pray, pray, pray. Do you believe in prayer?
Amen.
Amen. I believe you do. Prayer sets things in motion. There's really no reason ever to not pray. No reason to stop praying. Just because the answer hasn't come is not a reason to stop praying. It is powerful. Powerful. Praise the Lord. Don't stop. Whether you have a good day or a bad day, pray anyway. Because prayer sets things in motion. Prayer is powerful. God loves to hear you pray. He wants to hear from you. If you're having some anxiety or you're having some stress, God wants to hear from you. Do not ignore it. Do not ignore Him. He wants to hear from you. You know, we didn't buy one that's enough to put a bottle of water in between here. So we'll just have to go with it. Pray. Pray, pray, pray. We started the year with the theme of taking ground for His kingdom. Taking ground for His kingdom. That's our year's theme. Taking ground for His kingdom. And as we started going on that theme, there's two sub-themes that have come out of that. And that's obedience and prayer. You know, when you begin to obey this word, amazing things start happening. Your life starts lining up with this word. You just start like seeing God's hand intervene on your behalf. If you're obedient and you pray, amazing things start happening.
Amen.
No, I remember I was in my late teens, and I remember hitting a fork in the road in my life. And I remember, okay, am I going to serve God? I've been going to Sunday school since I was 5 years old. And here I am, ready to go into young adulthood. And it just hit me. Am I just going to go through the motions, or am I going to serve? Everything that I've heard about God and the truth of His word and how he's there and He does amazing things for His people. I just hit a fork in the road, and I just was down and going through hard things in life. And it hit me. It was time for me to make a choice. And that's why our young adults are so important to make this choice to serve the Lord with, serve Him or don't, right? And I had to make this choice, and I remember not knowing how to do it. Here I am, a Sunday school from 5 years old, and I wasn't sure how to get started. Some of us have been serving the Lord a long time, and you don't really know how to get started. I mean, how do I really give Him everything, His first? Because there's so much victory and joy and peace when you're letting God drive your life. And there's a lot of Christians who haven't figured it out. How to let God drive. How to surrender all my will to God's will. And there I was at a moment in my life, and it's time to decide, and okay, I want to serve the Lord. What do I do? I don't want to live life without God. I want Him first. And this little song came to my mind, read your Bible and pray every day, and you'll grow. That's obedience and prayer, right?
Amen.
Okay. Took my Bible out, It may have been the first time I opened it at home. Sunday school all my life. Typical teenagers, right? But that's... I took my Bible out, read a few scriptures, and I didn't really feel much, to be honest with you. I just read it, and then I closed it. And then I prayed. And it was like talking to the wall. Nothing. Then I said, I'll do it again, because it said every day, right? The song, read your Bible and pray every day. So I, next day came, and I did it again. I did it again and again. And in 2 weeks, about 1 or 2 weeks, I don't remember exactly what happened. But one day, I was in prayer, and God's presence was in my room like it was a camp. Remember those camp experiences I was talking to you about? Where God just showed up. And for the first time in my life, there was a presence of God in my own home and room that was life-changing. And at that point, I realized you don't have to go to camp to experience God. Amen? And I realized, and I remember one time my mom walking, knocking at my door and telling me, "Are you going to eat today?" I didn't even realize I hadn't eaten all day. I was just praying and reading. God was just doing it. But I didn't know where to start. And just an obedient heart, pray and read, changed everything for me. Changed everything. Changed everything. So pray, obedience. This is the sub-themes that have come out. And it makes sense. Because you're not taking any ground without obedience and prayer. Amen? You know, taking ground for His kingdom requires that people begin to die to self, be obedient, and pray. And then you start taking some serious ground. And it's starting to make sense to me in my own, you know, what God's kind of doing in my heart. We're going to take ground, but it's not going to come without effort, without obedience and prayer, without sacrifice. If God's people are obedient and pray, then you will witness the hand of God intervene on your behalf. It's pretty exciting. Pretty exciting that God will begin to intervene on your behalf. And I saw it as I was young and I started reading my Bible and praying every day. I saw God just start intervening over and over and over. It's exciting when you get this right. But you got to let it go, right? Amen. You got to let go. There's this phrase, let go and let God, right? Let go and let God. Do you believe that God will intervene on your behalf when you're obedient and you pray? Amen. Amen. I know you believe, but it will be, if we're honest with ourselves, we sometimes give up because of being obedient and praying because we don't see things happening fast enough, right? We're kind of like, oh, I mean, I've already prayed and I prayed. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying about things until the answer comes. The enemy starts to lie to us about God caring for us when we don't see things happen right away. Don't listen to the enemy's lies. Because, you know, the message this morning, don't listen to his lies because the promise still stands. Amen. And that's the title of today's sermon. The promise still stands. Thank you all that helped with the barbecue plate. If Alyssa and I looked like we didn't want to be here yesterday, we did it. We were sick. But thank all of you who pulled through. Albert, you led a lot of the chicken cooking and stuff. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. All of you that came to help, serve, hold up signs. You know, if Alyssa said something rude, let me apologize to you ahead of time. She wasn't feeling well. But thank you so much for doing that. That was amazing. We did pretty much give out all of our chickens we cooked, right, Albert? Pretty much. Praise the Lord. Well, let's recap. Prayer series review, part one. God can be persuaded. Can he be persuaded? Yes, he can. Pray. Pray repeatedly. Pray often. Pray until the answer comes. pray until the answer comes. You know, Casey has this little amen slide that she found. So, Casey, every time I drink water, I want you to pull up the amen slide, all right? Can you get that? Because that's going to give me a moment to get my throat cleared. All right, this is going to work just fine. Praise the Lord. Can God be persuaded? Yes, you got to pray. Keep praying. That was the first week. The second week, we talked about why does prayer work? And simply put, prayer works because God says it works. Right? But it does activate certain things. It activates obedience and faith and humility. And these things, when you read them in the Bible, when you see obedience and you see humility and you see faith, powerful things happen. Amen. Abraham, faith. What happened? Right? Obedience. In Moses' story, there's obedience and humility. When you are totally dependent upon God, something happens. You know, when they were in front of the Red Sea, they needed God, right? There you go. They needed God in a powerful way. And he moved. They were totally dependent upon God on that moment. So that's why prayer works. Because it activates some principles that God has for us. The impact of prayer. When you begin to pray, supernatural things begin to happen. Over and over, you see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You see Daniel in the lion's den. You see Joseph and his story. And you see Peter and Paul and the chains being broken out of prison. God intervened over and over and over in a supernatural way. If we all really believe, and I said this last week, I'm going to keep saying it again and again. If we really believe that we start praying, supernatural things start happening, we would find time to pray like never before. Amen? Amen. Ah, she slacked on, huh? Praise the Lord. Good one, good one. Praise the Lord. We would not stop praying. We'd just be like, when can I pray again? Because I want God to supernaturally intervene. Prayer is very important. The impact of prayer. And then we talked about supernatural peace. There's something about, like, when I come to the Tuesday night prayer meetings now, and all we do is pray for 1 hour. You don't have to hear me speak. Nothing. Nobody. We just come and play some music, and we pray. And one thing I'm finding is I'm looking for peace for that 1 hour, just to let God take everything, and just supernatural peace. And I've been enjoying it. And in my heart, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna keep just praying for an hour straight every Tuesday, until God kind of releases us from that, and until something happens or God's time to change. But I really. Taking the ground for his kingdom has to be drowned, and we gotta pray, right? We gotta pray. Prayer changes things. Supernatural peace. And I love that supernatural peace. And prayer does that. It does that. Part 5. Pray. Whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes to pray. On Mother's Day, we talked about this. Do whatever it takes to pray. Like a mother does whatever it takes to defend their child, right? You notice that even when the child is wrong, the mom's defending them, right? You know, like, no, they're wrong, you know. They need a spanking. They don't need to defend them. Don't say amen on that. That wasn't a good one. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do whatever it takes to pray. And the last part today is this. The promise still stands. And I do not have a long sermon for you today. I got 2 scriptures. Let's start with Joshua chapter 6, 1 through 21. All right, Joshua chapter 6, 1 through 21. I think I marked it. Here it is. Praise the Lord. It's a long one here. I hope my voice holds through, all right? Let's go for it. Now Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out. Let me put my glasses on. That might help. This is a big letter Bible too, is it? That's supposed to be big letter Bible. What happened? And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto you this land of Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go around about the city once. Then shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And on the 7th day, you shall compass the city 7 times. The priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when they hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend upon every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you to shout. So he's saying, don't say a word. Just do what I'm asking you to do. Be obedient. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city going out at once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. And the 7 priests bare the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord, went continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the reward came after the ark of the Lord, and the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did this for 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose up early and dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you this city, and the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And in the wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. When ye take the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel cursed and trouble it. But all the silver and all the gold and all the brass and the vessel and the iron consecrate unto the Lord shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. This is an amazing story of God's people being obedient, praying and believing in this city, that this city was given to them by God. They did not stop at 6, right? They did not stop at 6. They completed their task and went to the 7th time like fools, right? Like fools, just shouting. They thought they were fools, the people listening to them. It's okay to be a fool for God. Amen? Amen. I've been a fool for the Lord. It's okay. God loves us and He has a plan for us. But because they did this, the walls came down. So in your life, let me tell you this message. Don't stop at 6 now. You've come too far. Keep praying, keep believing, because the promise still stands. Amen? Amen? The promise still stands. Don't stop at 6. What does that mean? Don't stop at 6. wherever you are in your life, you've grown in the Lord, you've gone so far, don't stop. Keep praying, keep believing, keep begging God to take your will and to replace it with His calling for your life. Don't stop now. Don't stop at 6. The walls do come down. Amen? The walls do come down in your life.
Amen.
God does answer. The promises still stand. You want to know why that wall fell down? It wasn't because the people were good looking or they were perfect or so righteous. It wasn't any of that at all. Well, good news, right? Because none of us are. It wasn't because any of that, none of that reason. The reason these walls came down, you can read it in Genesis chapter 5, chapter 15, verse 18. The reason these walls came down is because of this. It says in Genesis 15, 18, "The Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed I'm going to give you all this land from Egypt to the river Euphrates, the Amorites, the Canaanites, all of these places." Because of that promise, the walls came down because God's promise still stands. They were at the right place at the right time, those people. And we're at the right place at the right time. I believe the city of Donna, you know, Donna, and if you don't live from here, you're still part of this ministry, and it's God's going to do an amazing thing. This city is like the bastard child, so to speak, of the valley, and oh, the drugs and the crime, and Donna, everything all horrible. This city is right in the middle of the valley. And I believe there's been people praying for the city for many, many, many years. In 1936, Amy Simple McPherson graduated college students in California, and she sent people out to start little churches. And in 1936, this church was started by that revival that occurred in the 20s and the 30s. And there's something down in my spirit. I wasn't here, because you know I'm not that old. But somehow, down deep in my heart and my spirit, there's some promises that God made to people that I believe that we're going to see. Not because we're good or got it all together, but because God's promises still stand. And God has put Pastor Green and Sister Green Kathleen here from Ireland, the miracles of all that. All of that is in motion because His promises stand. And I believe we're going to witness something in this city. You know, the city that has all the problems and darkness. And I believe God's going to do something that's going to start penetrating. And I don't know exactly how. I don't know all the walls are going to come down. But I just feel in my heart, He's preparing us. So don't stop at 6. Go on to the 7. You know, the 7 represents in the Bible a number of completion. A completion, right? God completed the earth in 7 days, right? Completion. And the promise still stands. And I don't know what it is about this little church, the little lighthouse, how God has prepared us. I mean, if we really were ready to go, and we could do some amazing things in helping people, like the Bible says. We're already in position, and God's going to put us in better position, but it all starts with us getting it right, praying, being obedient, knowing the promise still stands for your life. You're going through hard times and battles. Just keep praying and believing, because it's gonna happen. You know, when I was a young boy, I've been talking about camp because camp impacted my life in a dramatic, dramatic way. I honestly don't know if I'd be here if it wasn't for those camps. It just changed everything. I remember being at camp 10 years old and having a dorm counselor. His name was either John or Joe, I don't remember. One day I'm going to look for him in heaven. Because I remember I was in a dorm and I was one of the shy kids. I don't talk to anybody. I was just, you know, you're more of a minority at camp. You know, you're Hispanic. And I just stood in a corner. And I remember he pulled me aside. He said, "There's something special about you. Your humility," or whatever he was saying, I don't remember. And he said, "God's going to use you to save. People are going to get saved through your ministry." And I'm like, wow. And I remember he prayed with me. And here we are many years later. The promise did stand. Right? And I remember another moment when I was about 16 years old, going to the altar at camp. And I remember somebody who I didn't know praying over me saying, "One day you're going to speak in front of 100 youth." And I'm just like, what? I don't speak very much. And about 20 years later, I stood at a camp. They asked me to speak. And I didn't even remember this. It was out of my memory. And I remember they introduced me and he said, "We're here with about 100 youth and Pastor Elias is going to come speak." I wasn't pastor then, actually. I was just going to come speak, youth leader. And the moment he said that, I was just sitting like over here and the youth were there. The moment he said that, before I even got up to speak, I had a flashback all the way to camp when this prayer prophecy was given. And 20 years later, I stood. And my sermon almost like got thrown out the window because I started sharing all of this with the kids. And boy, we had an altar call and God just moved in a dramatic way. Oddly enough, the title of that sermon was "Read Your Bible and Pray Every Day." The promise still stands, church. No matter what it is you've done or you're going through, or you feel you've done too much to go away from the Lord or whatever, or you're not serving Him like you should, the promise still stands. So as we end this series in prayer, of prayer, I want you to leave this place today sealed in your heart, determined that no matter what, you're going to go the seventh round. And you're going to complete this calling that you have. It hasn't been easy. There's been tough times. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. And I want to end with that song that Michelle has taught us. It has those words, "The promise still stands." And I want you to leave this place. Feel that in your heart. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to stand if this means something to you. If you want to answer to this, that you're never going to doubt. You're going to complete this. You're going to complete this. You're not going to stop at 6. You're going to go all the way around these walls and they're going to come down and you're going to answer the calling that God has for you. There's a lot of ministry to be had. There's a lot of things that we're going to need for people to do in order for this little city, for the promise that has been given to the city, to stand. And you're a part of it. So at the count of 3, as we close this series out, if that's you, you're like, "Yeah, I'm going to seal it in my heart. I'm not going to stop at 6. I'm going to go all the way to round 7 because the promise still stands and the walls will come down. And your calling will be answered in Jesus' name." If you want to seal that today, just on the count of 3 stand. 1, 2, 3. If that's you, you're going to go to the 7th round. You're not going to stop because the promise still stands. You're not going to stop. Let's just sing together. Allow the Holy Spirit to come and to dwell among you.
and to show you that He loves you and He still works and He still stands with you. In Jesus' name, let's pray this together.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they
we won't stop at 6.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.